12-Sided Stories is for mature audiences and often deals with topics that may be difficult for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
In the city of dreams, everyone wants to be a star, but at what cost? 12-Sided Stories presents Otherworld Hollywood.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Otherworld Hollywood, our Call of Cthulhu actual play. This is episode number 8, and I'm here with some wonderful players. Let us start with Candace.
Hello, everyone. My name is Candace. My pronouns are they, she, and I'm here playing Evany Belafonte, she, her.
Hey, y'all. I am Mac, and I am playing Lenore Von Mori, who is also known as Cass Richardson, but more frequently known as simply The Vamp.
Hi, I'm Lev. I use they, them pronouns. And today I'm playing Roberta Robbie Cedillos, your fun new writer about town.
Hello, hello, everyone. My name is Sam Starr. I use she, they, and the occasional fae pronouns. And today I'm playing Imani DeVoe, who uses she, her.
Hey, I'm Michelle Otis, and I am playing Belle Bellington, she's well beloved by everyone.
That's a damn lie, you know.
I didn't know we were fibbing.
Right. I was like, are we lying on the introductions now? Cool.
I would have exactly
noted. Liar, liar, le pants on fire.
Le pants.
Enjoying the show? Then take a moment to join our Patreon. Support the podcast and get early access to episodes and bonus content. Head to 12-Sided Stories Patreon today.
This is a weird recap because we had a single show, our last episode 7, which was a solo show with myself and with Candace. I am not going to do much recap on that because we did it purposefully to make sure that the players didn't know what happened so that Candace can decide how much information they give out and how much information they keep to themselves. In the last episode, Evie went to the creators of New Day Rejuvenating Lotion to deal with the fact that her face had become incredibly old very quickly, unnaturally, and to get some information and to try to get some help. And then the episode before that, because I like jumping around, you all, the entire group in episode 6, were at Cut'em Films on the soundstage getting ready to do some read-throughs and some other things inside the studio. And when Evie showed up, she looked beautiful, like even more radiant than she did the day before. And she started, I believe, talking with Imani. And then Belle showed up. Belle was on one side of the studio and Lenore was on the other side of the studio, and they kind of looked at each other, and it was this Old West kind of moment. Robbie was kind of watching everything going on, just looking around, and then looked at the man who doesn't speak often, but for some reason speaks to them quite a bit. And he just gave her a wink, and it was very off-putting. Also in that episode, Belle's photographer, Johnny, was like, hey, we don't really know anything about the new girl. Why don't I go and check them out a little bit and find out, you know, maybe there's something there. And so Johnny left the studio in the morning as well. Now, the one thing Johnny might find out about, well, there's a lot of things he might find out about, but there's Rose, the murderous girlfriend who has moved in and is completely and totally okay. There's also their night job that Imani's doing, which is the BDSM photographs, the old like 50, obviously the 50 style photographs that you would have seen, kind of like the Betty Page pictures. Then there's also Robbie went over to Penelope's house and found out that Penelope is part of royalty and has a big connection to England and is taking care of her cat. And there's this big door. There's a butler and books that they're not supposed to read and all of this other stuff. And so there was that. And then Lenore is talking with Henri about the wedding, maybe having some leverage now that she knows that the owner of Cutem Films is the ex-husband of Belle, and he also has a lot of muscle behind him, so maybe there's some kind of leverage there. We ended episode 7, like I said, with everybody in the same room, no tension at all. Everybody's just chill. And we pick up there with the wink from the man who never speaks to Robbie, who's across the way talking with different crew and cast. So he just winks at you.
I think Robbie leaves whatever discussion they've been having with anyone on the crew, like could be mid-sentence, and just starts making their way over to him.
He turns towards you. Now, before we do this real quick, I need everybody to make a power roll at disadvantage.
Oh, shit.
Why?
I don't trust it.
Well, you shouldn't.
Disadvantage is like the...
Yeah, you roll
an extra percentage die.
Yeah, you roll the tens place die. You roll two of them.
Got it.
And you pick the lower one.
97 over 55.
Oof. Okay.
My first roll was a 27, so thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Both of mine came out as 50s, so 55 under my 70.
Okay.
I got a roll I'm never going to get again. My good roll would have been a 1.
Wow.
But my disadvantage roll is still an 11 under my 50.
Oh my God. I also rolled a 1, but with disadvantage, I ended up rolling a flat 50 under my 70.
Cool. Okay. Wow, so far, the only person to biff this is Candace.
It's because I've got a secret.
Lev, what did you get?
Robbie got a 54, under 70.
Evie, you were the only one that failed.
Yep.
All right, so you're smiling, you're happy, you feel pretty good. And as Imane takes you up onto the stage to start reading through lines, you feel this tingle in the back of your neck that rides up into your skull, and you suddenly feel this immense rage. And you look around, and suddenly you're in this melee of people. They're all dressed in different kinds of armor from all around the world and fighting with swords and guns and bows and everything else. And in front of you is your enemy. And you suddenly realize that you have a sword in your hand. And you waylay into battle. Now, back into the real world.
I'm finna get hit.
Okay, Imane, you notice that Evie's in this trance, and then suddenly she turns around and tries to swipe at you with her nails like claws. I'm going to say you see it coming, so what do you want to do?
I'm going to jump out the way and try to push her.
Okay.
Like, get out of my face.
Over there, go. Lenore, what are you going to do? Suddenly this kerfluffle has happened.
I guess I'm going to try and go, like, calm things down, which maybe isn't in my best of interests, but I'm going to start walking towards Evie, going, whoa, whoa. Hey.
Give me a persuasion roll.
Okay. Ooh, I don't have a lot of persuade.
Do you have fast talk or any other social?
I took intimidate. I could approach a little more. I could approach a little more aggressively.
Sure. The fuck are you doing?
No, I did not make it. I got a 92 over my 60.
So you get over and Evie just seems locked in this trance and is trying to lunge at Imane. Michelle, Belle is seeing all this transpire. What does Belle do?
Is Johnny next to me?
Give me a luck roll.
Luck for who, Wes? I rolled a 1.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Yes, he's next to you, and he has his camera ready for a day of shooting.
I'm, like, hitting him on the arm and getting him to get pictures.
It's like, oh shit, Robbie, you notice that all these flashes are going off as this melee is starting, and you're halfway across the stage towards the guy that never speaks, and you look at him and then look at the melee and look back at him, and he's giving this huge grin at you, just waiting for you to come over. What do you want to do?
I'm still going. I think Robbie has been like watching this and is connecting two dots in their mind that somehow he's responsible for this. And I think they're going to start like, they're not tall, but they're going to start like clanking over there, trying to like stomp their feet with their braces so it's loud and more intimidating.
Okay. You stomp over there. Do you have intimidate or anything like that? No.
God,
I didn't think so.
I have persuade and it's 25. Robbie doesn't do things with other people.
True. All right. Robbie doesn't talk to people. God, that really hits home.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, what a fucking mood.
Oh, you can exist, just not around me. So, all right. So you walk over there and he goes, can I help you?
What are you doing?
What do you mean? I'm standing.
You're winking at me and you're smiling at people fighting. Why are you? Why? What's your deal? Why?
He goes, oh, 1 second. And as all of this stuff is going on with the photos and Imani trying really desperately to get out of striking range and Evie thinking that she's on a battlefield and swinging a sword and poor Lenore trying desperately to get them to separate, but them not listening. He goes, oh, 1 second. And he pulls out his gun and points it at the ceiling and fires 3 times. And this huge cacophony of sound just kind of goes everywhere. And Danny comes out and goes, what the fuck is going on? And everybody stops. And suddenly, Evie, you regain your ability to see the real world and everything comes back into focus. All of you are just kind of standing in the position that you were in before the gunshot. And he puts his gun back in his holster. He goes, I had to break that up. I hope your ears are okay.
I did not come from the South for this.
Ebony passes out.
No, my ears aren't okay. You shot a gun right next to me.
Sorry. You wanted me to do something, right?
I figured being a person who's big and tall, you would physically intercede rather than shooting a gun. That seems like it's adding to the problems rather than, I don't know, detracting from them?
Nothing wrong with people letting off a little rage every once in a while. You're enjoying it right now, right?
This isn't rage. This is fear and confusion. I think you misunderstand.
Oh, you should try rage. It's much better.
That's not the point of this conversation, sir.
What is the point? I was just standing here. You're the one yelling at me.
Why were you winking and smiling and being creepy when people were having issues?
Oh, I guess we have different definitions of creepy.
That doesn't answer any of my questions, ever. You never answer any of my questions. That doesn't answer any of my questions.
And yet you still ask those questions. I'm not sure what I can do for you. Are you still having other people's dreams?
That's none of your business.
Hey, you're right. It's none of my business.
Your business is to keep people here safe, I thought.
Not really. My business is to make sure everything runs smoothly. And look, it's much better right now.
My dislike of you grows with every moment and just like turns and walks away, like frustration tears kind of building in their eyes, like not really even sure why they're this frustrated, but not really knowing how to talk to a person. Like they're not a social person, but like this is an even harder conversation than any conversation they've ever tried to have before.
Yeah, I get that. So I'm sorry, Candace, you said that Evie passes out?
Yeah, Evie pulls a Wendy Williams. She like sees her hands up and like looks at her hands and like looks at Imani and gives like Puss in Boots eyes and then like falls to the ground like in a faint.
Okay.
Whether it's real or not, no one knows, but it looks real, hopefully.
Can you give me an acting role?
Yes, I can.
After that, Lenora is totally going to go and check out what's going on because I actually have first aid.
Okay.
24 under 55.
So you emote really well and fall to the ground.
Yeah. And I look real sexy when I'm laying there, too. I look really
super fucking hot.
Well, we got to get our priorities. All right. Lenore, you go check out Evie. And she seems okay. She doesn't have any blood. She didn't really hit her head. She's just kind of out cold. And you can wake her up and get her to stand up if you'd like to do that. How do you want to proceed?
Very carefully, because that was a bit of crazy. But I'm just going to kind of be, I guess, standing over her a little bit, like crouched down and like looking her in the face and just, are you okay? You were having an episode?
What? Excuse me. What? Oh, no, darling. Oh, please. Oh, please help me up. Oh, please.
I'm going to help her up.
as she stands, she kind of shakes her head and like her hair kind of like bounces around her shoulders, and she kicks off her shoes to steady herself so she's not teetering in her high heels.
I saw a vision. It was, I was on a battlefield. It was, like, you know, have you read those books, the Tolkien ones, the Middle Earth or what have you? I was on a battlefield and someone was coming after me, and I had a knife in my hands, a large blade, and I swung, and I was fighting for my life, and... Oh, God, did I hurt anyone? Please tell me. Imani!
You were trying to hurt me!
I'm so sorry. I didn't see you there. I saw this knight, and he was coming at me, and it was horrifying. I'm so sorry. Could someone please get me some water?
Imani looks so, like... There's, like, a hint of concern in her look, for sure. But she's very skeptical and a little pissed. And it's just, like, looking at, like, eyebrow quirk, just like...
I think it's the heat.
Well, I guess. You know what? Just make sure next time if you're gonna have one of those visions, you're not near me.
Well, the yelling isn't going to help anyone. Let's get her to a seat. Obviously, she's having some kind of episode.
You make it sound like I'm some kind of head case, an episode. I've just been a little dehydrated, that's all. Perhaps too much sleep. Too much sleep. Oh.
All right. Well, drink some water, eat some bread, and lay down for a second, I guess.
Bread, Imani, please. Bread at a time like this.
I'm sorry. Is bread not... I mean, it normally helps.
Half a grapefruit, please. The tartness will wake me up. I don't need extra calories now. I don't need them.
Is that what y'all eat around here? So, like, I can't... And I think Imani turns to whoever's standing next to her and is like, so I can't eat bread no more? Like, that's... bread frowned upon?
I think bread is fine. I think you should eat bread if you want to eat bread.
Thank you, Robbie.
So, Danny has come out, and he walks over to all of you who are kind of standing near each other. And he's all like, what in the holy hell is going on out here? Mr. Hinete, come over here. What did you do? And he goes, nothing. I was just firing a gun to make sure these people stop trying to kill each other. He goes, they're okay now. They seem all right. And Danny looks at Belle. He says, no, she have a camera there with your friend.
I always have a camera.
How much is the film worth?
Ooh, that's something we could talk about. Definitely. Give me something better. It's not about money, dear. It's always about the story.
It's always about money. It's always about money. You are such a... Anyway, something better, like what? You've already got a wedding being planned for you.
Yeah, but you know that Scandal sells papers.
All right, go get your Scandal somewhere else. You were supposed to help us out. You and your photographer can take those pictures and go do whatever you want. We will spin it the way we are going to spin it. We're a B studio. No one's going to care if there was a fight, you know?
Oh, they're going to care when it's someone as big as Evie. They may not care about the newcomer. They may not care about anybody else. Oh, or they may care about, you know, that you're associated with your star who's going to be national. So...
Okay, I changed my mind. You're a cunt, and there's nothing else that's ever going...
I've been called worse.
Look, go away now. I'll figure out how. Just keep the... I just need you out of my studio, and I'll contact you with something better, okay?
All right. You've got 24 hours.
All right. Now that the time bomb is gone, can we get back to work here, people? Are we okay?
Please take it. Please take Imani's scenes first. I feel so bad to have shaken her up. I feel she doesn't trust me anymore, even though it was not my fault. I don't want to say I'm a victim, darling, but that's how it feels right now.
Let's just do this then, I guess.
All right. I will have a conversation with Mr. Hinete and see if I can figure out a better way for him to break you up if there's a problem in the future.
There was not a problem, I swear. I fainted. I had a vision. It was visceral and felt real, and someone was attacking me, and I just raised my arms to try and get them away, and unfortunately, our dear Imani was caught in the middle, and I'm so sorry.
She starts to cry, and it doesn't feel like the tears are ingenuine.
He goes, it's okay, Evie. You've been through a lot. And Imani, did you get her that grapefruit?
Yeah, I got it. And she comes back with like a little plate and like one of the little forks.
Here you go, dear. It's been very traumatizing for you, I know.
It has. Don't give me the sugar. I don't deserve it.
Miss Evie, just eat the grapefruit, please.
I think you're being hard on yourself. You should have a little sugar. It is grapefruit.
She dives in.
Okay.
You can see her, like, just internally biting through, like, the sourness and the tartness. And, like, her eyes start to water, and she just muscles it down. Like,
nice.
Like, tough bitch style.
Lenore, are you okay?
Okay is a relative term, but I will be fine. Hopefully my friends here will be able to compose themselves shortly. And I wouldn't worry too much about Belle. I mean, what's to say that the pictures she took weren't us rehearsing some scene?
True, but I always worry about Belle. She is definitely a very bad person to deal with. And I deal with the mafia on the regular basis. So
he said the soft part out loud, didn't he?
He goes, all right, get your composure. And he looks over at Jacques Couture and says, you know, get the scripts going, get line readings going, and just try to pull the day together. I'm going to be talking with our friend in the office. And him and the man that never speaks or rarely speaks goes into the office and starts having a heated conversation. The four of you are standing in a circle and Jacques Couture is nearby. Do you want to say anything to each other?
I think rather than saying anything, Lenore has taken up sort of a pose of arms crossed, you know, across her chest, and seems to have slipped back into more of that on camera mode. Whereas before she was genuinely concerned about the situation, but the way that they reacted, she's stepped back and kind of closed off again.
Okay. Robbie, do you say anything?
Robbie has kind of drifted over and is standing in the circle of everyone. And I think kind of nudges Imani. He goes, can I ask you a question about the script over here? And like points off into a corner.
Yeah, of course.
Great. Come with me, please.
She just falls behind you, yeah.
I just wanted to make sure you were okay. No one else was really asking if you were okay. They were all worried about Miss Van Mori and also Evie. But also, you're the one that kind of got hit.
Well, much appreciated. Thank you for, you know, checking in on me. I wish I could say it was something I'm not necessarily used to, but I kind of am. So, I'm not necessarily surprised. I'm new here, so there's less stake in me than there are in Miss Lenore and Miss Evie. But thank you.
I mean, it's not fair because you're just here for the first time and they've been here a lot of times and eventually you'll be here a lot of times. And I don't really know where I was going with that.
I think I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Also, I said this the other day, but in the script, if there are things that are said in a way that don't make sense to the way that you would say them, if you have a way that you want to say them that makes them more normal for, like, you or any person, really, you can, as long as, like, the intention of the line changes, or doesn't change. As long as the intention of the line doesn't change, then it's fine. So I'm not going to be that upset about the word staying perfect. If there's, like, one word that I think is important in there, I'll underline it so then you know it's important that it can't change, but anything else can change. Does that make sense?
She looks so confused and perplexed for a second and then just like pause. Wes, do I have like the newest copy of the script for running lines?
You have whatever versions floating around right now. I don't know. Robbie, did you hand out a new version after Jacques Couture made some note changes?
Yeah. If nothing else, Robbie's just taken the script pages and like scribbled things out and like written, like handwritten them in because they haven't been home to like use their typewriter. But I think there is some kind of version that everyone can view.
Awesome. Okay. So yeah, you have the newest version, we'll say.
Cool. Yeah. Then Imani will like, she has it like tucked in the back of her skirt and pulls it out and is like, well, I tend to make a lot of notes in the margins of lines like this. And she'll open the script and flip it in front of you. And there's just like all these pencil markings right around her line in this very neat handwriting, like swooping type of handwriting of hers, just marking intentions, underlining words, filling out through lines, completely marking this script up to pieces outside of your changes already.
Oh, this is fantastic. This is so nice. Some people just look at it and then say it, and it doesn't feel like they do it, you know?
Well, as many times I figure as we have to shoot, it's probably a little difficult to keep the same through line intention in a line when you have to make multiple takes and try it in different ways. The bottom line should still say the same. And it's easier for me to just have those notes there, personally.
Tucks it at the back of her dress.
That's so good. Okay, great. I just wanted to make sure that you didn't feel like pigeonholed into the perfect words and having everything all the time. Especially because this is your first time, and that's great. So yeah, I don't know if all writers are like that, but I'm like that. So if ever we work on anything ever again together, then you'll know.
You know what? I look forward to that time.
Very cool. Unless Lenore or Evie want to do something right now, I'm going to jump over to Belle. Do either of you want to do anything right this moment?
I don't think so. I think Evie kind of watches the other two walk away and, like, finding a moment to herself, like, looking over at Lenore's posture. She kind of sits, like, a little dejected and just takes a minute for herself to get back into her headspace.
Lenore, do you do anything besides take that stance and kind of look around?
No, because I think how everybody reacted was not what she was expecting. So she's kind of like, okay, fine. Y'all don't want my help. I'm going to just remove myself from the equation.
Can you give me an idea roll, Mac?
Yeah, that's using...
Just straight up intelligence, yeah.
I got a 60 under my 70.
Awesome. This is a big studio with a little office off to the side. The office always has the blinds shut where Danny works. And then the rest of the studio is relatively open. And you're watching all of this going on. And you can hear little bits of the conversation going on inside the office. And if you want to, it's your choice, you can try to get closer to hear what that conversation is. It is your call.
Yeah, I'll definitely get a little bit closer. And just sort of acting like I'm idly walking. Maybe I've got my script out, you know, so it doesn't look like I'm obviously like ear to the door.
Right. Yeah, you're not like with the glass.
Right.
So you get over there and you hear Danny say something along the lines of, you cannot fire a gun in the studio. And another voice say, I'm really bored and I don't want to be here, but I have to be here. And if I want to fire my fucking gun, I'm going to fire my gun, because it's nauseating to watch all of you mortals wash around each other like you were important. He goes, look, I'm not trying to start anything with you, but you need to be more careful. Well, I don't feel like I need to be more careful. It's all going to end soon enough. And then suddenly you hear the door start to open and you walk a few feet away with your script. And he comes out, kind of looks around, kind of looks towards your way, and you can feel him look at you and you get angry when he looks at you. But then he averts his gaze a little bit. That feeling goes away as soon as it came. And he walks towards the back of the studio, just starts watching everybody again, doesn't say anything. And you just hear Danny yell from the office, get the fuck back to work, and the door slams. All right, so I'm going to jump over to Belle. Belle, you walk out with Johnny. He goes, holy fuck, we've hit the mother load.
I mean, it's a hell of a lot of leverage if we don't publish.
Yeah, it is a lot of leverage. I mean, I've always wanted to see Cancun. Oh.
So you want to pay out instead of a good story?
I don't know. Evie's full of shit. That was all an act at the end.
Oh, you and I both know it. You and I both know that.
She's a pro. Come on. Oh, I don't know what I was doing. There was a man on a battlefield. It's so difficult. Someone bring me an espresso or whatever the fuck she asked for. Terrible.
Half a grapefruit? Come on. Who comes out of a hallucination with and asks for a grapefruit?
I don't know. I have no clue. It's just some sad shit in there right now, I'll tell you that. Look, we need to go over and figure out who this Imani is. The more gold we hit, the better. We could publish some of it and get money for the rest. The sky is the limit with this group.
Yeah, this is a hotbed. I thought coming to Cuttom might be a little boring, right? I thought it might be, you know, we're on Poverty Row, right? But this is so much more interesting than anything going on at the big studios.
What did Danny call the guy who shot the gun?
Mr. Something?
Hanete or something. I don't know.
Hanete? Yeah. What the heck is that?
We should look into him, too.
Yeah.
But maybe a little farther away.
Oh, yeah. That guy, something's off with him. Something's really off with him.
Isn't your ex-husband his boss?
Yeah.
Well, we keep talking about leverage, right?
True.
So.
But that's going to force me to talk to my ex-husband.
We all have to do things we don't want to do in this business, you know.
Don't I know it, Johnny? Don't I know it?
You know.
Well.
At least you're not getting grapefruit for a has-been.
Well, see, that's the thing. This is the kind of role that for a has-been could be a springboard to a renewal in career.
And she was looking pretty good, too.
Yeah, what is up with that? She can't have had surgery. The turnaround's too fast. And I don't know any surgeon who could do that kind of work. And I know all of the plastic surgeons in Hollywood.
Do you think it's drugs?
I don't know. I don't know. I've never seen anything that could do that.
Yeah.
I mean, she looks like she's 25 years younger.
True. So how do you want to do this? You want to divide and conquer? What do you want to do?
Yeah, let's divide and conquer. I'll talk to my ex. And, well, you know, maybe I can squeeze some money out of him and then get Danny to give me a story. We get a little bit of both.
True. I'll go check out this Imani.
Yeah, there's something different about her. The whole doe-eyed, I'm just a little Southern girl who came off the bus and got a job. Come on. Come on, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, they're definitely laying it on thick.
Yeah.
Well, we've already got Lenore in the bear trap, so I will go see if I can get Imani, and you go see if you can get some more stuff on the others, and
yeah,
we'll go from there. What about, Robbie seems harmless, bit talkative.
Robbie seems harmless. I mean, they are a good writer, and, you know...
Have you read the script yet? I haven't seen it.
I've seen bits of it, and they're good. They're really good. I know Danny's going to cut it all to pieces, but, you know, Robbie's got potential to be writing for a big studio, to be writing prestige pieces. Whether they get out of this studio or not, that's a whole other story.
True. You know what? We can wait to see what they do. And if they have potential to go to a bigger studio, we could use that as a door to the bigger studios.
True.
Follow them up their path to glory so we can get bigger fish.
Maybe do a piece because, I mean, Robbie doesn't strike me as anybody with any scandal.
No, probably not.
Nah. But maybe do a piece about this up-and-coming writer and their talent and, you know, give their career a little boost.
I mean, I know you don't want to do the whole Russia thing, but we could say something like the one non-commie writer in the city or something like that.
Something like that, like someone who hasn't been blacklisted.
Right.
Yeah.
Clean as a whistle, Robbie.
Clean as a whistle, non-commie. I don't know.
We can workshop it.
We'll workshop it. But I think that's a great idea. And, you know, you give them a boost to their career. They might give us a crack in the door at a bigger studio.
All right. Well, I'm going to get going. I wish I was a fly on the wall right now in there.
Oh, boy. I know. They're not going to let me in there for a while. So I'll go talk to the ex.
All right. See you later.
Bye.
He jumps in his car and pulls away, and you jump in your car and pull away. We flash back inside. Lenore, what do you want to do?
That is a very good question, especially given the information that was just dropped. I think she's going to keep it in her pocket for now, and she's not really sure how to approach finding out more without talking to Danny, because now seems like a bad time to talk to Danny.
Probably.
But it is going to kind of be swimming around in her head because, you know, the I'm bored and mortals and other words were like, wait, what?
Yeah, absolutely. If everybody's okay with it, what I'd like to do is fast forward through the day of acting and whatever, unless someone has something specific that they want to do. Does anyone have anything specific? Okay, so you all rehearse, everything calms down quite a bit, and lunch goes by, the day goes by. I'm gonna flip back over to Belle, and Belle, you're at your office. You can feel your editor cross the office, boring holes into the side of your head with her eyeballs, waiting for her story. And you call up your ex, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Tony answers.
Tony, what can I do for you?
Hello, dear.
What can I do for you, Belle?
Believe me, I take no pleasure in making this phone call, but has Danny talked to you yet?
No, why? What happened?
Well, there was an incident at the studio today.
Okay, can you fill me in?
Oh, let me build my suspense.
The suspense you're building is how I keep putting up with you. That's the suspense in this conversation.
So, today, Evie, for some reason, started attacking Imani.
What?
You heard me. Evie started attacking Imani.
Is Evie okay?
I don't know. I mean, Evie's fine as far as physically, but she was claiming to be having some sort of vision or something, and she wasn't actually here, and she wasn't really attacking Imani. She thought she was attacking someone else.
Who's Imani again?
You know, the young girl who just came off the bus.
I'll remember her name when she does something.
Yeah, you know. But Evie started attacking her for no reason whatsoever. Lenora was trying to break it up, and, you know, and then your guy, Hanetti, started shooting his gun to break everything up, and of course everybody calmed down a little bit, but in the meantime, my guy got all the pictures.
You really like poking the bear, don't you? Just poking away.
Sharpen my stick every day.
What do you want?
Well, I want a bigger story, and then I'll bury this one. Or a slightly bigger story and a whole lot of money, and I'll bury this one. Or to tell me, who the hell is this Hanetti guy?
Look, I'm not Croesus over here. There's only so much that I can do.
What can you do? Give me an offer.
Look, Rojo loses his temper a lot. He's a good person, but he loses his temper a lot. So let's just leave that at that. Don't worry about him. And I have to make some calls, and then I will call you back, okay?
All right.
Hangs up the phone. Doesn't say bye. Just, you can feel the strength with which he puts the phone down.
And that makes her smile just a little bit.
All right. So then, later that night, shooting is done. And Imani, you get back to your apartment. And there are all these cop lights going off, all these, you know, all these lights flickering in the night, black and white cars everywhere, and an ambulance. And it's the coroner.
The coroner? Uh-oh.
God dang it again.
It's the coroner, and they are rolling a body up into the back of the ambulance. And that's where we're going to stop this episode.
Uh-oh.
What the fuck?
Hey, no, actually, we should keep going.
Remember when I was talking about unionizing against the GM? I think maybe we should do that right now.
We the undersigned.
I know, it's cruel. I know, but it's going to be worth it. Trust me.
It's cruel, he says, so excited that it's cruel.
Right.
It's, I know, devious. It's cruel. With a fucking huge smile.
Look, you know, you have to have a certain amount of sadism to...
Honestly, in order to GM accurately, correct.
Yeah. You have to have just a smidgen. Just a not too bit. Much, just a smidgen.
Mm-hmm.
To make things. And this way, you guys are going to be excited to play again in September.
But that's right? A long time away.
It is a long time away.
What?
I have to. Does that make me a masochist?
Yeah.
Like if I continuously sign up for that, that's okay. Learn something new about myself.
Kind of. Yeah. Oh, anyway. Thank you all so much for playing. As always, it was a lot of fun. I would like to know where all these wonderful people are. Let's start with Mac.
Hey, y'all. I have been and will continue to be Mac Beauvais. You can find me everywhere online is at Strange Like That. I'm still going to call it Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and potentially showing up in Sims games randomly.
Hello. Hi, I am Sam Starr. I was Imani today. You can find me all over the internet. I also will still call it Twitter. I don't give a damn what you think, Elon Musk. Lust for Life X, that's on Instagram, Twitter, Hive, Blue Sky. Yeah, pretty much socials everywhere. You can catch me on Saturdays and Transplanar RPG's Twitch channel at 8 p.m. Eastern for the Chaos Protocol. And apparently that's my sim game that Mac shows up in just randomly. That's me.
Oh, I'm not muted. I thought I was muted. Hi, I'm Lev. I've been Robbie Sidious today. You can find me on Twitter at LEGO M2RS. Usually, you can also see me playing games at Mayday Roleplay. We're getting geared up for Orpheus. We're going back to our Orpheus system, which is a World of Darkness game, which is great. We're all a bunch of sad gay ghosts. Yeah, that's Mayday. God, I keep thinking I'm going to get better at these, and I never fucking do.
Hello, everyone. I am Candace the Magnificent. You can find me at that Candace Girl, CANDACE, over on Twitter, at Candace Marie on Blue Sky, and at Candace Magnificent anywhere that doesn't have a 15-character count limit. And you can also see more of my work over at Crossroads Games, Live from the Apocalypse, every other Saturday on What We Do in the Shallows, a 5e homebrew on Matihi's channel. And yeah, just follow me on social to see more, I guess.
Hey, I'm Michelle. You can find me on the socials at Michulhu. That's M-I-C-H-U-L-H-U. You can find my music and Wes's amazing sound effects if you subscribe to the Plate Mail Games catalog through BattleBards.
See, Lev, we all do it. Michelle has said that line many, many times.
Yeah, I have mine memorized and set so that I don't have to try and think of anything clever.
I truly should do that.
And I am Wes Otis. You can find me at Plate Mail Games. You can also find the show on all of the socials at 12 Sided Stories, the name 12 and then Sided Stories. You can also find us on Discord if you want to talk to us about stuff. Come join us. Our website is the best way to find all our links. It's 12sidedstories, all one word, .com. If you want to help out the podcast, become a Patreon backer or a coffee backer, or give us a shout out on your favorite social media and make sure you tag us so that we can say thank you so much for doing that, or give us a review on your favorite platform. We really appreciate it. Until next time, we will... I don't know where I was going with that. See, I'm fucking it up. Can't wait to tell you more Otherworld Hollywood stories next time.
Bye.